Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1319. The topic is Q&A and the title is Books for Improving Mental Health. Now, this is a fun topic. I really love listening to books. I don't read a lot of books. I read Goosebumps. I read pretty much every Goosebumps there was when I was younger. And then my love of reading kind of fell away into video games, which then thankfully very quickly turned into exercise. So I definitely like consuming information, but reading wasn't one of my choices. I would watch a lot of videos, and I now listen to a lot of audiobooks. So I do Audible, and that way it helps me kind of like listen to books while I'm doing other things. I have very good auditory retention. So if I'm listening to something, even while I'm doing other things, I retain a lot of good information. So I'm very lucky and very blessed in that way. I don't have great reading comprehension, actually. If I try to take the time to read something, I start to daydream and I have difficult time like focusing and paying attention. So thankfully, auditory works really well for me. I've actually listened to, I'm on my 90th book through Audible, and all of them except for one has been in like character development, like personal development and or business development. So that was really cool. So I've loved this stuff, and it's something I enjoy doing. It's part of pretty much every day. I average about 20 some minutes every day of listening to some type of audiobook. So I had a listener recently ask a question. They're actually somebody who I worked with in the past, and they had a young child who is now a teenager, and the teenager was wanting to get into exercise, nutrition, and so I sent them some resources for that. And then also she asked about kind of mental toughness and or kind of mental health. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool because I don't typically get asked that question. I usually get the nutrition and the training question. I don't usually get kind of the mental discipline or mental toughness kind of question. So I thought that'd be fun to kind of talk through the books that I sent her and then also some other books that I really like. So the ones I sent her, I sent physical copy, like books that I knew were physical copies that I'd read in the past. So when I said I didn't read physical books, I just didn't read many. I did thankfully read, but just not many. So I sent her, there was an author who I really like named Jim Loehr, L-O-E-H-R. He wrote a couple really good books, and I'm sure in his mind he thinks they're all good, and I'm sure they are. But the ones of his that I read, I really did like. And so I sent her four of them, and I figured I'd share that and then share some of the other ones I've listened to. So the first book I sent her was called The Power of Story. And again, these are all by Jim Loehr, J-I-M, and then the last name is L-O-E-H-R. So that one, really what I love about The Power of Story is it's going to get her teen into the mindset that in their life, they are the writer of the story, not the narrator. Too often we live as if we're just letting life happen to us rather than going out and making life happen. So we almost, in a sense, live our life like the narrator, like the story's happening and we're just saying what is happening versus the writer who writes what's happening. So I loved that mindset because to me that really kind of hit home and kind of made sense that I was, you know, when we think of like, oh, so-and-so is doing this or so such-and-such happened, like we often think of it's happening to us, which is what the narrator would feel or, you know, the kind of the main character in the story rather than the writer. The writer decides on the story, whereas the narrator just tells what the story is happening, like what's happening in the story. So I loved that. The other concept I really liked was just the concept of a good story is typically, you know, we get to know the characters, then there's some kind of trauma and drama and climax to the story, and then things typically end out well. Those are the stories we like. But what's neat about that is that in our lives, if we're still alive, the ending isn't written. And even if we've had negative things up until this point, again, the ending isn't written. And all good stories have like some climax to them. They have some messiness, right? So just because I've had some messiness in my life doesn't mean I can't change that for the better by the end of the story. So I think of like pretty much every Hallmark movie is some woman with some weird obscure job. She either loses her job and goes to a new place, or she gets a new weird job and that sends her to a new place. But something to do with a weird job, something to do with a new location. Then there's this new guy in the new location. She never likes the guy initially, ever. Nope. Always hates this guy. Like, she gets to this new town. There happens to be this one good-looking dude who she just immediately dislikes. It's always over some misunderstanding. And then she finds out he has a mysterious past. She then starts to kind of like love-hate him. And then all of a sudden, something in his mysterious past comes up. They have a misunderstanding, little, you know, snafu argument. But then it all settles out in the end, and true love exists, and happiness, happiness. That's every Hallmark movie. Literally every single Hallmark movie. But what's neat to know is that there is some mess in the middle, right? There's misunderstandings. There's just junky stuff that happens. But that's part of a good story. That's what keeps us interested. I am not saying that if you haven't had junky stuff, go make junky stuff in your life. Don't do that. So maybe you can have the boring story that no one wants to read or watch. That would be great, in the sense that it just goes super well for you. Not boring in that you don't accomplish anything. But the point that I'm rambling about is, even if you've had, you know, junky stuff happen in your life, the ending isn't written yet. So get after it. You know, make the changes. Change the story. Change the ending. You can still write what you want to happen. The other aspect that I like, this is more of a subtle kind of concept in the book, is just taking ownership of your life. If I want my life to change, I have to write the changes. I'm not going to be able to narrate changes, because that means the changes happen outside of us. If I want changes to happen, I have to own that. I have to own my story. And I have to write in the changes I want to happen. So I love that book. Next book, again, is by Jim Lohr, is The Power of Full Engagement. I've loved this book because all the time I hear people tell me that they don't have time. Well, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. And from like 15, 16 years old, I've always thought that was really stupid, because we all have the exact same amount of time. So that doesn't make any sense to me. That's never made sense since I was 15 years old, that when somebody said, I don't have time for that, I'm like, well, no one has like more or less time. You decided to take your time to do that, or you didn't. It's not that you didn't have time, you just didn't use your time for that. And that always seemed really odd to me. So thank you, God, for putting that in my brain. But what I like about the book, The Power of Full Engagement, is it's not a time management book, it's an energy management book. It tells you how to better use your energy. And that is definitely something that we have more or less of. Depending on my actions, my sleep, my food, you know, whether I exercise or not. You know, a lot of that can influence how much energy we have. I can't modify time, but I can modify my energy. And I need to better learn how to manage the energy that I do have every single day. So if I have a day of low energy, I need to know how to manage that versus a day of high energy. You're not going to have a day of low time or high time. That stays the damn same. So quit that beepity bleep bleep excuse of I don't have time. You had time, you just didn't take it for that. You decided to use your time on something else. Sometimes that's good, because you probably took care of a higher priority. Sometimes it's bad, because you didn't do anything worthwhile with that time. But quit that shit of saying I don't have time, okay? That's complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. Don't say it one more time for the rest of your entire life, okay? You either used the time for it or you didn't. You had to manage your resources throughout the day to include it or not. So it happened or it didn't happen. If you want it to happen in the future, make the changes to make it happen in the future. Done. Okay? The other thing the book says is to do high energy things early in the day. So of whatever is in your day that you can control schedule-wise, try to do the highest brain power things earliest in the day. If you try to do your high brain power things at the end of the day, you're going to do a crappy job, or you're going to feel a lot of frustration, anger, and stress over it. Whereas if you just get that stuff done as early as possible in the day, even if that means you have to wake up early, you know, God forbid, but it's going to be a lot better for you. You're going to have a lot better quality of life. Okay? Another thing it teaches you is to give as much attention to building your energy as you do to allocating it. We often think of where we're going to spend our energy, but where are you earning energy? Right? Where's your paycheck for energy? Where are you getting energy back? So you have to pay as much attention to building your energy as you do to allocating it. And that's what that book helps you do. Third book I wrote, I suggested was titled The Only Way to Win. Fantastic book. Awesome book. So if you want to be successful in business, you want to be successful in your relationships, you want to be successful just for your own damn self, building your character, looking within, okay, trying to be your best self, is the best way to do all of those things. So, quote unquote, the only way to win is to look at yourself. Like, I like the phrase, fix you first. You know, before I worry about what so-and-so is doing, I need to make sure that I'm doing the right things, you know? So the more I work on myself, which is why I listen to self-improvement books all the freaking time, my life gets better. Every single book I listen to, and I put something into use, okay? I start doing something from that book, my life automatically improves. And it has done it every damn time. So the more I work on me, the better my life gets. I can't change other people. So I'm just going to focus on changing me. And it's amazing, amazing how much of a difference that can make. The fourth book, and again, these are all by Jim Lohr so far, is The New Toughness Training for Sports. And this is mental, emotional, and physical toughness as related to physical activity and like sports and things. So she, the listener, wanted that for her team. And that's a great, great book. I'll just let you read that one. It's fantastic. You will absolutely love it. So if you want to learn about toughness for physical exertion, whether that's a sport or just like training on your own, but it's not just physical toughness, mental, emotional toughness. You're going to need those things as well. And that book is great for that. So again, it's titled The New Toughness Training for Sports. So those are the Jim Lohr books. And those are the ones that I sent to the listener. But I did want to save five other ones for two categories, so 10 more books. I won't go forever. But I just want to name them. So for mental health, five other books that I've found to be very helpful. One is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Bleep by Mark Manson. If you just search The Subtle Art of Not Giving and then Mark Manson, M-A-N-S-O-N, you'll see what the title is. Lovely book. Not a lovely word that's in the title, and might want to skip the first chapter because they use that word about 4 billion times to try to desensitize you to the word. But the remaining chapters in the book overall is amazing. You have to decide what you want to give your attention and energy to. When things are not beneficial to you, and it's not like you're being selfish, just literally, maybe you have a shitty person in your life. Man, you don't owe them anything. You know, reduce the amount of time you spend with them, reduce the amount of communication, try to find better, happier things. Like, there is so many things in life that will demand our attention and energy and or seem urgent for our attention and energy, but they are not. They are absolutely not important. So it's very important to understand what you can say yes and no to, and that you actually have the power to say no. Next book is How to Be an Imperfectionist by Stephen Guise. Last name is G-U-I-S-E. Love this book. Everybody thinks they have to be perfect to achieve success, and that is ridiculous because no one is perfect ever. Any successful person has had some kind of failure along the way. Literally every single one. There is no one who is perfect. There is no one who is successful because they were perfect. You have to learn how to be an imperfectionist because we all are. Oh, definitely a good book. Next one is 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. Freaking awesome book. Just really cool information. Great ways to kind of look at life and view life. Just really, really, really neat. Really fun book. Next one is How to Grow Old. I don't know how to say this person's name, but Marcus Tillilis Cicero, dude from like way back when. And I'm sure that gave somebody a good laugh. But it's like way, way, way back. The last name is C-I-C-E-R-O. But the book is titled How to Grow Old. Freaking awesome book. Love it. Great, great, great book. The last one for the mental health category, and there's a lot more, but I just try to stay with the top five, is Atomic Habits by James Clear. Awesome way to set up how to be consistent with your efforts towards your goals to eventually become successful, even though you can't be perfect every day. So great, great, great book. Next five is going to be Mental Toughness. We have The Mindful Athlete by George Mumford and Phil Jackson. If you're a sports person, you'll recognize the name for Phil Jackson, and yes, it is that Phil Jackson. So they talk a lot about like Kobe Bryant and some other like high-level athletes and just what their mindsets were like, what their habits were like, and then the balance of if you want to be great in life, what are you willing to give up? You know, I can't practice basketball 16 hours a day and have great relationships and have, you know, quiet time outside of my relationships and basketball and, you know, do all these other things. You have to decide, what do you want in life and what are you willing to give up to get it? Every day we only have 100% of ourselves to give. We have to allocate and kind of divvy out that 100% based on what we want the outcome of our 100% to be. And that does mean you have to give greater percentages to some places, only coming from the reduction of percentages in other places. So you have to be aware of that and you have to be okay with the decision that you make. Next book is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Awesome book. You'll love it. Just let the book speak for itself. Really good. Third book is Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. Woof! That dude will fire you up. So you're going to feel like you can conquer the world after you read his book and or listen to him on YouTube. But his last name is David Goggins, G-O-G-G-I-N-S. Fourth one is Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. Yes, the first name is Jocko. The last name is W-I-L-L-I-N-K, so Willink. Extreme ownership is pretty much exactly that. You have to take ownership of your life to the extreme. If you want something to change, don't wait. No one or nothing will change just randomly for you. Okay? No matter how hard you want it to, no matter how much you beg and plea and pray, you want change, you go make it. Then the last one is The Man in the Mirror by Patrick Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y. If somebody's read that book, they might wonder why I have it under mental toughness. But one of the things I liked about that book was the concept of living an examined life is looking at yourself and saying, okay, are the problems of my life the consequences of my actions or my thinking? To what have I contributed to the negative things in my life? And if I want those things to get better, I probably have to start looking at myself first and stop doing the negative behavior that is contributing to it. So it's a really, really good book because it demands that you look at yourself first. Okay. Well, I thought that would just be nice to kind of list through some books that I've listened to and or read. And ones that I felt were very helpful for mental health in regards to mental and emotional management as well as mental toughness. Awesome. Well, if anybody else has any book recommendations, please, please, please email me. Please. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I love this stuff. I absolutely love it. So if you have a book that you felt was very impactful for your life, please let me know. I will listen to it, and then I will be able to recommend that to everyone for the entire rest of my life. So I've been very blessed to work with thousands of people in just this first, you know, part of my career. So if you think there's a book that's going to help me work with the next several thousands of people, please send it my way. I promise that it will benefit not only me, but everyone else I connect with for the rest of my life. So thank you. If you do send any suggestions, please check out these books. If you check one of them out and you listen to it or read it and you liked it or you have any thoughts you want to share, again, reach out. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I really appreciate everybody who listens to the podcast, and I hope that it is beneficial to your life. So it's fun to hear when that is the case. So Thank you for listening to the podcast. And if it's been helpful in your life, please consider sharing it. The more people you share the podcast with, the more people we can help. And that's the whole goal. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean podcast platform. You can sign up to do a small monthly donation, or you can do a one-time donation on our Instagram homepage. We have a link there as well. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. So I really appreciate the financial help so I can keep doing this, donate the time to it every day, but then also be able to keep it for free like all the time. So thank you very much for all of your financial help. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.